Beautiful people, you are now listening to The Reframe with me, your host, Tracy Thomas Brown. Around here, we talk about life as it is and life as it could be. This podcast is your permission slip to pause, to question the script, and for us to rewrite our story on our own terms, in our own voice, with the kind of freedom that actually fits. Welcome. When the idea for this podcast first came to me, I was working full-time. I was halfway through my pregnancy, which may or may not be a surprise to some folks who are listening, because that wasn't something that I announced. And I thought this podcast would be like a beautiful side project, right? Something reflective, creative, soulful, something that I'd be able to share my journey and maybe release it afterwards, because I wasn't ready to publicly share that I was pregnant. I think mostly, well, one, because one of my aunts, you know, shout out to Caribbean aunties, scared the mess out of me just talking about what people might do if you tell them that, you know, so there was that. But then also just, you know, being my age, being 40, or even if you're not 40, like all of the scary phases of pregnancy that I'll get into that in a whole nother episode. We'll talk about pregnancy and childbirth is a miracle that we definitely need to celebrate and highlight and talk about more. But that'll be a different episode. So anyways, I created this as sort of just a beautiful space to be able to be creative in a way that I haven't been in a while, but also just to really capture a lot of the feelings that I was having in this phase of my life. But then life, as life does, switched it up on me. So I was laid off at the beginning of my third trimester. And a week later, so was my husband. So, you know, I had a little bit of notice. I got officially 2 weeks before I actually, you know, lost my job. And my last day was a Friday. And hubby went into work on Tuesday because he used to work remotely on Monday. So they brought him into the office on Tuesday. And funny story that's not actually funny. So I had planned the self-care day on the Tuesday after, you know, my last day of work, because it was still, I was still kind of like in shock and reeling from the like, wow, I am laid off in the middle of, this is not what I planned, right? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this week to just kind of be with it, like grieve, mourn, do all the things. And so the Tuesday after, you know, I dropped my husband to the train station and and I go do a little pampering. So I'm like, okay, let me go get my nails done, whatever. So I'm sitting in a nail shop, finishing up my nails, and my husband calls and I can hear that he's outside. And I'm like, I dropped him to the train and he told me he had a meeting that morning. His boss put a meeting on his calendar. He was like, this is kind of weird. So I told him, I said, you know, I asked them for an agenda, you know, so you could find out what's going on in the meeting. And so he asked and they were like, don't worry about it. No agenda needed. We'll see you in the morning. So he was a little nervous. And granted, because I think there were a couple of people in the meeting that he didn't usually meet with. And so he went in that morning and we, you know, had a conversation in the car and kind of like we prayed, we talked about like what's the best case scenario, right? Like that's one of the our things that we do is instead of worrying about what could go wrong, like let's think about what could go right, like what would be the best case scenario in this situation. So anyway, so we drop him at the train station, meeting is at 11 o'clock. It's about 1 o'clock. My nails are done. I'm getting ready to leave. My husband calls. And I'm like, hey, babe, what's up? Where you at? He's like, I'm outside. And I'm like, outside where? He's like, I'm outside the nail salon. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, are you stalking? But, you know, immediately I'm like, okay, wait, this doesn't make sense because you should be at work right now. And so I jokingly go, what happened? They fired you? And he goes, well, chow. The way my mouth dropped open, and I had to quickly collect myself, gather myself up and, you know, go support hubby, right? Because who would have thought after I got laid off, we were kind of like, okay, you know, this sucks, but he had a great job, great benefits, great pay. So we were like, you know what? Like we can rock with this one salary. We'll make it work. We'll figure this thing out at least until after I deliver the baby, you know, have a little bit of maternity leave. He actually had a great parental leave policy at his job. So he was going to be able to take some time off. So we were banking on that. And that was the one thing that was getting me through the fact that I had been laid off. So less than 4 days later, for this to not be the case anymore, we both, needless to say, were pretty damn shocked and just reeling from how sudden it all happened and like, what the hell are we going to do now? What the hell is the young people saying? And so now this podcast, The Reframe, is still a love project, but it's also a survival journal, right? It's a witness to what happens when you're 8 months pregnant, you're unemployed, you're unsure, and still trying to follow the pull of your purpose. And same with my husband, it is a journey and documentation of us trying to figure out, what do we do next, right? We had so many ideas. We both were in a space where we were not thrilled with the work that we were doing, and we knew we wanted to create another life. And I truly believe that, I don't know that I believe that everything happens for a reason, but I do believe that you can make reason and meaning out of everything that happens, right? And I also don't believe that there are coincidences. So I don't think it's by any means an accident that we both ended up really free to be able to make the choices that we want to make in life in this very moment where this baby is about to arrive and change our lives completely. So this podcast is my version of leaving a breadcrumb trail, not just for myself, but maybe for someone else walking through this transition to somebody else who is in a moment of big change and feeling like the rug got pulled from under you and you don't know which way to look and you're standing in circles, but you know that you could either be like standing on a precipice and you could be diving off into the most beautiful adventure of your life, but it actually kind of feels like you might be jumping to your demise. And so hopefully documenting this journey will give some folks peace of mind that, you know, the realization that that line between fear and excitement is really thin. And it's actually the same emotion with slightly different interpretations. And so we're just going to walk it and talk it through so that we can see what it looks like when you jump off, right? And, you know, I think when people hear that we were both laid off, obviously there was a question about like the financial instability piece of it, right? Like, wow, we both have no income coming in, at least not W-2 income. And you know, I'll talk in another episode about some of the choices that we made that were really smart that allowed us to have peace of mind when we both were laid off at the same time. Growing up, you know, shout out to Caribbean aunties again. Women in my family always talked about having vex money. So for those of you who don't know, when you're vexed with somebody, that's when, like when you're angry and you can basically, you know, I've heard it also described as like F you money or quit money. But having a stash that allows you to move freely when you're pissed, right? Usually it's talked about in marriage or in relationship to a partner where you have your own money. So if your partner pisses you off, you can do what you need to do and you're not solely dependent on them, right? But in this case, because financial freedom and being independent and being able to move without answering to people are strong values for both myself and my husband. We've created a life where we have vex money for our family. We have freedom fund for our family. So while, you know, we appreciated a good W-2 income and it allowed us to do a lot of the extra things that we love to do, like we love to travel, we love to pop out on a trip without, you know, thinking about the budget. But we have also made very smart moves. So we live in a multifamily home that we own. We have rental income that supplements our living income. We've always only had one car for most of our time together. My husband has worked in New York, so it's always worked out that he's been a commuter and hasn't needed to drive. And, you know, I've either worked remotely or worked locally, so I can drop him, make that work. And our car is a simple car. Neither one of us are huge, luxury, fancy cars. And the car has been paid off now at this point for a couple of years. Neither one of us are big shoppers. I don't really care about name brand. Quality is more important to me. Same for him. So we value experience over things. And so that has been a gift to us, especially in this moment, because we get to now make decisions and have some income still coming in, even though we're not working full time. So that wasn't the scariest part for me. What really kind of panicked me and surprised me as well is the free fall into motherhood without anything tethering me to who I was before. So even though I knew I was outgrowing that last job, there was still a strange comfort in knowing it was there. Something to go back to, something familiar, a built-in group of people that I was connected to regularly. One of the things about my ADHD that can be frustrating socially is that sometimes it's like out of sight, out of mind. And so while my community is huge and my village is huge, and literally I know thousands of people, it is very easy for me to fall into this kind of like rut or isolation if there's no built-in reason for me to connect. So if I don't have a meeting with you, so even at my job, I would get frustrated with myself because I had all
of these really cool people that I worked with, and I would end up only talking to the same two or three people that I had projects with or that I worked with regularly. And one of the things I wanted to work on towards the end was building those connections, right? Like, how do I create a system where I'm reaching out to people regularly and staying connected, even if there's not a structured reason to talk to people? And that was something that I was wanting to work on right before I left. And that didn't happen. So yes, you know, the people that I work with were the people that I talk to the most outside of people in my own home. Now it's already that feeling of isolation and disconnection that I hear so many parents of newborns talking about. And I'm not even there yet. Like, I'm still percolating this little baby, which is kind of wild to me that I'm stepping into that unknown, but already from a place of how do I foster connection when there's nothing that is forcing me to, right? I don't want to say forcing, there's nothing pulling me towards that connection other than desire. But again, as we know, some of that desire can often be interrupted by that task initiation, right? Because while connection can seem as easy as just like, girl, pick up the phone and call somebody, the overwhelm, who to call, are they busy, when do I call them? All of those things can make it difficult to actually initiate. So just stepping into this phase of motherhood that I hear so many complicated feelings about, and I'm nervous. And obviously, I'm sure all first-time parents are nervous and feel away, but I have no idea what to expect. And maybe I'll be like those moms who fall completely in love, who never want to leave their baby's side, and who are grateful every day that they don't have to hand her over to strangers. Now, part of that excites me that I'll be able to see all the firsts and the first steps and the first giggles when I won't have to rush back to work after maternity leave and really wish that I was going to be with my child. But I will say I also know myself. I know myself pretty well, and I know that I get overwhelmed and that I need stimulation. And one of the worst combinations for somebody with ADHD is to be overwhelmed and understimulated, right? Imagine having a lot of busy work to do, but none of it is anything that you care about. And that is the combination. Let's say you got to file a whole bunch of papers and you're just like, do, like that rhythm could get them through. But for somebody with my brain, like just giving me a mountain of paperwork, but I have no connection to it, or I have no interest in it, or it's just, you know, monotonous and dull, it can be very draining and it can really kind of zap my energy. And so I know in the newborn phase, before they get cute enough where they're giggling back and they're talking to you and they're making faces, like that first couple of weeks, maybe in first couple of months, they really are just kind of, you know, hanging out, trying to get fed and trying to go to sleep, right? And none of that is happening on the schedule that you wanted to happen to. And so this idea of too much repetition, but not knowing like when to switch it up or how it's going to be different really makes me nervous. And I'm kind of freaking out about it. Just afraid of drowning in that semi-chaos of newborn life, of being overstretched, under-resourced, unseen, tired, exhausted, you know, all of the things. And folks keep telling me like, but it all is outweighed by how cute this baby is and how much they love you when you look at them, and even their poop is amazing. And I'm sure, right? But I think for me, it's hard to put it together, right? It's hard to see it, and it's hard to really believe that like changing dirty diapers is going to be as stimulating to me as teaching a training course or like getting really excited about a subject that I love talking about or facilitating. I can't see it. And again, it could just be because I don't know yet, but right now my brain is having a hard time making sense of that. And at least when I thought of going back to work, there was something that I was anchored to. So even if I hate it, you know, 12 weeks, I will be going back to something familiar, something that my body already knows, something that my brain already knows. And now there's no deadline, right? There's no tether. There's no, this is the timeline in which you get to at least sort of feel like yourself again. And I have no idea when my brain will be ready to focus again, or when my body will feel like mine, or if I'll feel ready to work again. So now that I don't have this looming timeline of 3 months, am I going to want to go back to work in 6 weeks? Am I going to want to go back to work in 6 years? I have no idea. And that fear, that anxiety is heightened because of that big, vast unknown. And because even before being laid off, I was already struggling with where did I want my career to head? Like, and as a late bloomer, still haven't found that niche where I really was operating in my zone of genius and feeling like my own excellent self and still like working towards that. I don't even know where I want to go when I get back into the workforce. I don't even know. Maybe this is the moment where I become the person that I want to be and I don't need to go back to anybody's W-2. But again, with all the fears around baby brain and things that you'll forget and the gray matter in your brain is now bigger and stronger than it's ever been, that anxiety around who I'll be on the other side of this and how do I navigate that and how do I not just fall back into the person that I knew, but become the person that I want to be when right now the template is completely blank, like tabula rasa, coming from a brand new space of being a brand new person. How do I create, you know, and what am I creating from?
So that's the journey, staying grounded in meditation and journaling in order to explore. But I'm also just being present to that the only thing that is true is what is here right now, right? And it really doesn't matter what I have been or even who I am becoming, because all that matters is what is right here and right now. That being present is the only way to avoid anxiety, which is being focused on a future that hasn't happened yet, and depression, which is being focused on a past that you can't do anything to change. So I'm here and I hope you will join me. And OG mamas, if you have had this experience, if you have been in this place, I would love to hear your stories. I would love to hear what emerged, what came out on the other side. And if you're thinking about becoming a mama, is this something that you're grappling with and something that you're facing? I love hearing stories about women becoming, especially, and even if you're not going to be a mama, yeah, I love to hear stories about transitions and changes, especially as we get into the later decades of our lives. So let me know. All right, that's the episode. Thank you all for joining me. Take what mattered, believe what didn't.